Amen. Good to see you, Gustavo. Good to see you, Ruth. God bless you. Hallelujah. It's both an honor and a privilege to be here tonight sharing God's word with you. It's a great honor for me and a privilege. It's beyond words to be up here sharing God's word with you. And it's most interesting that you brought that up, Ruth, because that's kind of like what I want to talk to you. We'll be especially reading from the book of Reuben tonight. No, I'm kidding. Anyhow, amen. I just trust the Lord tonight that he's going to give me words to speak from my heart to you. And speaking of hearing God's voice, recently I've heard God's voice, and he gave me some, not a vision, but words to go by. And I don't even know how to start this tonight, but I'm just going to trust the Holy Spirit. In 2012, the Lord spoke to me, and I was driving home from dropping off the kids that morning. And then I heard something like high and dry. And I said, Lord, did you just say to me high and dry? And then immediately the devil came and he tried to use that as to saying, oh, that means that you were, once upon a time you were high, and then you ran out of stuff to drink, and then you became dry. And then I thought to myself, no, that cannot be right. I know I heard God's voice when he said, high and dry. He said, son, I want you to look that up. And so I did. I looked up on the internet. What does that mean, high and dry? Where did that term come from? And when I found it, it was like, Lord, I know it was you. I thank you for that word. And it just, he brought this to my memory because I had forgotten about it just a few days ago. You see, every time we're going to start something new for God, the devil comes and tries to tempt you to give up or throw in the towel. He just wants to rob you of that step of faith that you're about to take. And in 2012, and I said, Lord, why did you bring this to my memory? I've shared this with only one brother thus far, and it was Brother Rod McLean when they went on a mission trip to Mexico. It says this term originally referred to ships that were beached, and they were just dry, a big ship, you see. And the dry implies that there wasn't enough water for the ship to float. So this Russian frigid, I can't even pronounce the word, archipelago, you know, he got aground below the shore on high water. See, the ship was too close to the edge on the beach. And because he was too close to the edge, the waters receded and he got stuck there. And I said, Lord, are you trying to say that I'm like that ship? Are you trying to say to me, Lord, that I'm like that ship? He said, yes, son, you're going to have to wait for the waters to come back so you can float away. You're just going to have to wait. You know, it's easy to be in faith when you know that you know that you know that you're in God's will for your life. You walk in it and things happen. You have a hard time trying to keep up with the Lord because things are happening. You walk by faith, but it's a little bit harder, though, much harder. When you're in faith, but at the same time, you have to wait. It's a hard place to be. It's like this ship, you see. A ship, when it's high and dry, and it's perched on dunes and rocks, etc., you know. And the tide goes in, and it goes back out. But still not enough water. You receive that word from the Lord, but it's still not enough to make you float away. And it's like, Lord, this is most difficult, just learning to wait on you. Just learning, show me how. Enséñame, Señor, cómo esperar en ti. I just want to learn to wait on you, Lord. Because most of my life, I was always a man or a young man also that I just went for things. Didn't think twice about it, boom, I just went for it. You see, when a ship is in that condition, people might try and come, get a tugboat from deeper in the ocean and try and pull on it. But you can't do that. Because if you pull on that ship, And its belly is on the rocks and sand dunes. You can destroy that ship because as you pull it, you break the belly part of it and you tear it apart and it's destroyed. Yeah. So the Lord said, Reuben, you're high and dry. This is 2012. I'm barely getting enough water to have enough buoyancy to float on. Bring on the water. You know, I am here to encourage you tonight. And this is what the Lord told me. You know, there are so many people, some ministers and some not ministers, that are in this situation. And they're trying to move the ship before the time. And you can't do it. You either destroy yourself or you destroy your whole family in the process. And you destroy your friends. And people are just devastated to see you in that condition. But it takes faith to wait on the Lord. And it takes faith to feed yourself upon the Word day after day and week after week until that water finally comes when you have enough buoyancy to float away into the deep. Well, Jesus is that Word. He is that Word made flesh. And it requires faith to wait on the Lord. Brother, I'm here to encourage you tonight to wait on the Lord. If you've heard promises from Him, it's going to come to pass. Just wait on the Lord. Sister, I am here to encourage you to wait on the Lord. If he told you to do something and it hasn't yet come to pass, I'm here to encourage you to wait on the Lord. The water is rising. Oh, just the Lord is so good to us. I'm going to share what the Lord gave me as I was meditating on His Word and just in His presence. And it just blew me away. Because just when I thought that there was just nothing else for me to do, because the devil is a liar and the father of lies, he'll even put well-meaning people, even Christians, in your path and say, well, you know, you're all washed up. Maybe you should go find a job somewhere, which I did, right? This is what he told me. In September of 1993, I wrote this down as I received it. Well, actually not. I heard it from the Lord in my spirit. He spoke this to me. Some of it is past and some of it's for my future. And as I sat there, it dawned on me. Me amaneció. Hey. That was the Lord's voice speaking to me. And so I got up and I wrote it down. It's not very long. In fact, it's kind of short. In September of 1993, I, Reuben Serrato, entered into the season divine, which was the Lord's command, a season which was 20 years long. I got this in November of last year. This is what really encourages me. In September 2013 is the time to enter in a new season divine, which is the Lord's command. A season which will last 20 years times two plus a third season divine. Listen, when he said that to me, wait a minute, Lord. This is November. Are you telling me that I have already entered into this season? He said, yes. All you have to do is trust me. Yes. Just trust me. Just trust me, Reuben. Stop leaning on your own understanding. Trust in me, and I will do it. I was trying to do it. It's much easier, just like Sister Ruth is talking about with Peter. Hey, I am the fisherman here. You're the preacher. I know what I'm doing here. The Lord said, just trust in me and it's going to happen. But every time we go into something that's new, Brother Calvin and Barbara showed us a video here just the other day. And listen to what I'm going to say. Again, I have forgotten this. I keep it in my wallet. I should just write it down in a bigger piece, sheet of paper, right? I forgot all about this, and what brought this to my memory again was that video that Calvin and Barbara showed us here the other day. It was on a Wednesday night, and it was for the youth group, right? For the youth. But it's for everyone. When he said 2013, talking about that was the end, of the curse, right? Remember? On the inside of me, in my spirit man, the real Reuben, just, it was just doing somersaults on the inside of me. I could feel the innermost being, my guts were just flipping on the inside of me. I said, wait a minute, he said 2013. And I pulled out what the Lord said to me. And sure enough, 2013, it's going to be, it's happening already. The water is rising. And it's in motion. Your Bible school, it's just in motion. And it's going to get bigger and greater and greater. Because it's already in motion. I'm here to encourage you tonight. I said, I'm telling you that God is here and telling you that it's going to be all right. The Father who is in us, He is the one that does the works. All we have to do is obey Him. That's it. Step by step. You know, Brother Oral Roberts once said, I heard him on a video I have at home. He said, hearing the call and knowing what to do are two different things. You know, I believe as long as you keep your mind in God's word and seek the Lord with all your heart, that first step is going to come to you. You'll know what to do. He'll never give you the whole thing, but He'll always give you that first step if you trust Him. That first step. You know, people talk about prayer, but one thing I've learned, as long as you keep yourself in the word, prayer is automatic. It just comes out of you. It just comes out of you. And you just begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. And you begin to pray the perfect will of God for your life. I heard Brother Kenneth Copeland say on TV the other day. Well, I don't have TV. It was on the internet, in fact. It moved me so much when they were talking about that, how we can pray in our own language, but we can pray also in angels' languages. And when the angels of heaven hear you pray out God's will, they go forth to perform it for your behalf. And it's like, whoa, where have I been? Why I don't pray more in tongues, I don't know why. Well, I guess we do know why. The devil, the enemy. He likes to lie to you and tell you that you're no good, that you're all washed up. He's very convincing, isn't he? Yeah, I'm ready to throw in that towel, you know. He's good at his job. But one of these days, right, people are going to say, you're the one, right? I'll make it shorter. Now I know why I wrote down the scriptures. That way you won't have to look for them. Every time, say every time, I'm going to start something new for the Lord, the devil's going to try and rob you of it. Every time. The Bible says that Jesus was led of the Holy Ghost to be tempted of the devil. Sometimes we Christians say, well, why am I being tempted? Well, it's because God wants to try your faith. He wants to purify your faith. He wants to create in you patience enough for you to wait on Him, enough for you to trust in Him. I'm telling you, Jesus was led into the desert by the Holy Ghost to be tempted of the devil. And, you know, this we need to know, that the devil's not going to give in. He's not going to let go of that territory lying down. But we must rise up in the power of His might, not in our own strength, not in our own ability, but in the power of His might, and trust Him. I just praise you, Jesus, as I stand here before you, saying these words to you that the Lord has spoken to me, that this reunion tonight, God is going to speak to your heart and encourage you. Because temptation come, you have to be ready. Because it's going to come. Where do I go with this, Lord? Oh. You know, in Genesis chapter 3, verse 6, I'll just go ahead and read it to you. You know, Eve was drawn in she yielded to the temptations of the devil. And in Genesis chapter 3, verse 6, we all know the story. And we could, see ourselves doing similar things. You know, the lust of the eyes and the lust of the pretty things and just being overtaken by this, that, and everything else. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food. See, this tree was good for eating. And that it was pleasant to the eyes. And a tree that is to be desired to make one wise. You can look at this and say, hey, I can go to the university and gain more knowledge of how to do this and how to be that. And sometimes that can be a temptation. It depends on your call. And I believe we all have a call to serve the Lord in some way. You could be called to be a doctor. You could be called to be a policeman. You could be called to be in the military. But you could be called to be a missionary. You can be called to be a preacher, right? This tree was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree to be desired to make one wise. She took of the fruit thereof and did eat. Oh, but she gave also unto her husband that was with her, and he did eat. See, the danger about temptation is that when you yield to it, oh boy, you can drag your husband along and you can bring down your wife along. You can bring down your family. You can bring down your friends. You can bring down the whole community when you yield to temptation. This is the danger of not being prepared, of not being ready. There's another guy named Lot, and it's in Genesis chapter 13, verse 10. And it says, you know, the story about him and Abraham, that Abraham said, hey, our flocks are getting too big. We need to separate ourselves. But I'll give you first choice, my beloved nephew of mine. And so he took it. Genesis chapter 13, verse 10. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of the Jordan. And he saw that it was well watered everywhere. And in verse 11 it says, and Lot chose for him all of the Jordan. That sounds to me like greed. See, when you're tempted, you want to get greedy as to having too much, more than what you can handle. And he pitched his tent toward the Sodom. And we all know that all the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners, and they were just sinning against the Lord exceedingly. We can make wrong choices. When things look good on the outside, we can make the wrong decision to go this way. The devil is so smart, so subtle, that you won't even know it you fell in. But if you catch yourself, you can take yourself out of there and start all over again. And you know, so many times I've done this in my life. So many times I've made the wrong decisions. So many times I've taken this path that's caused me and my family to be set backwards, set back a few years. You know, I just want to share this with you because it's in my heart too. And we've all missed it. We've all missed it. You know, King Solomon, he was the wisest man in all the earth. And, you know, there's never ever going to be a man as wise as Solomon. Yet the Bible says in 1 Kings verse 11, Chapter 11, verse 1, but King Solomon loved many strange women. For it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart to go after other gods. And that's all the work of the devil. He starts with a little temptation and he's got you. And you know what? It's all right. We can get up again and start all over. For many, many years, I have felt just like it's over. I don't know what to do anymore. And Calvin shared on this a little bit on Sunday. You know, sometimes you don't know what to do. Oh, but when you get into God's Word, suddenly you know what to do. And He begins to speak to your heart. And I believe that you who are here tonight, you're wanting to hear God's voice for some type of direction in your life. And I'm here to encourage you. Just keep going. Just keep going forward. Don't give up and don't yield to temptation. They might offer you a good position at work, but that also might be the work of the devil. You must be hearing God's voice on the inside to know when he says, no, son. The inner witness is on the inside saying, no, don't go that away. You wait on me. You wait on me. I got something better for you. Sure, that looks very good. Like Eve saw that tree and it appeared it was very pleasant to the eyes. And it was good to eat. It was good food to eat. This tree is going to sustain me for a good long while. But the Lord says, wait and trust in me. I have something better for you. I have something better for you. You know, we went over some that yielded to temptation, but we can go over some that resisted temptation. Daniel, to me, is awesome. And we know the story about Daniel. You know, Daniel chapter 1, verse 8 says, the Bible says, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which the king drank. He didn't want to defile himself. He resisted that temptation. He had the best meats in front of him to eat. He could have been stronger. Oh, but he chose to trust in the Lord. I choose to trust in the Lord. We choose to trust in the Lord. He'll always lead you and guide you through peace. I came back to Douglas guided on peace. In 1990, I was in Tucson. And I went around and worked here and there and everywhere. But one night, I was living with my brother Sam and another friend of mine who's now gone. He's passed away. I was working and I said, Lord, there has to be more than this. You see, I got born again in 1987. I had been filled with the gift in the baptism of the Holy Ghost, praying in other tongues. And I would do that every now and then. Oh, but in 1990, I was working in Tucson. And I said, Lord, there has to be something else. What do you want me to do? I was like a sheep without a pastor. I never even knew what a pastor was until I met Pastor Calvin. He's only been my pastor. He's the only pastor ever known in my whole life. So when I was in the kitchen, and I said, Lord, you have to help me. I know you have more for me. And so I was in the kitchen and I just let myself down against the floor like this. And I just went down like this. Lord, help me. I don't know what to do. I call upon your name. Help me, Lord. And I just went like this. When suddenly I felt this great peace on the inside, which said to me, go to Douglas. That was a mess. Alcoholic, not really a drug addict, but I like drugs too, but not really a drug addict, but I was an alcoholic. I said, what are you going to do with me, Lord? I'm such a mess. He said, go to Douglas. And the inside of me, I felt this peace, and it led me here, one foot in front of the other with this great peace. And the Lord led me to Pastor Calvin and Barbara. And then Bobby, I met them. Met Bobby first, and then I met Calvin and Barbara. There's this other friend of mine, Art Monge. I'm telling you, he wants to guide you through peace. If you don't have peace on any matter, on anything that you think is God asking you to do something, if you don't have peace, don't do it. It takes faith to wait on God. It does. And don't let that tugboat try and pull you out when there's no water underneath you. It'll tear you apart. I know. I have lived it. Hey, brother, won't you come over here? Brother, let's go over there. But you need to have that water underneath you. The Bible says that Noah was saved through water. Amen. Here's another guy that we heard of. Yes, amen. Amen. Woo, that was good coming. Saved his family. Yes, because he was obedient. Hebrews chapter 11, we all know. Let's go there. I didn't write all the, you know. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24. We all know the story about Moses. But this is interesting to me. This part caught my hearing on the inside of me. as I read this, and, you know, it's awesome. You know, we can say, hey, Brother Reuben, that's a faith chapter. Yes. But in verse 24, we can see that Moses resisted temptation too. Amen. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24 says this. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Listen, I underline this where it says, when he comes to years. In other words, he was at the age where he was now able to decide for himself. He was like in a crossroad. He had a decision to make right there. Am I going to continue to be with Pharaoh's daughter and live in these riches and just live a comfortable life? Or am I going to go this way? So he was old enough to decide. And even that required faith. And I believe it was through the peace of God that he did this. That he was led forth by the peace of God, knowing. It'll tell you right here. Let's read on. So we know that he was of age to decide. The Lord said, hey, I put before you life and death, blessings and cursing. Choose this day. You know, and the Lord said, hey, choose life. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, he was able to decide for himself, in other words, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Choosing, listen to this, he chose. I'm telling you, hey, if you have a chance to live in a mansion and have all the riches in all the United States of America, and just live like a king, if that's not a temptation, I don't know what is. You begin to say, wait, well, this money I can help my mother and my sister Maria and my brother Aaron. And I can maybe sometime later in the future convince the king, the Pharaoh, to let them in. If that's not a temptation, I don't know what is. See, when you have that kind of money, you have power. Amen. And so choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Hallelujah. He chose. He decided. He resisted the temptation of the riches that was rightly his, by the way. Rightly his. And he gave it all up. This kind of paints this picture of Jesus Christ. He left all the riches. And he came to be poor, a man. He made himself poor so that we can be rich. But listen, he came among his own. He came just like Moses. He decided, hey, I don't need this. I'm going to go among my own. I want to be with them. Because I know that they have a promise. I know that the God of Abraham and Jacob, and you know, they're right on. Then in verse 26, esteeming the reproach of Christ, the greater riches, which is in Christ Jesus, than the treasures in Egypt. You know, Egypt is symbolic to the things of the world. Sometimes we want to go with the things of the world. But the Bible says here that with Jesus, there's greater riches. There is greater riches in Christ Jesus. Boy, okay. How much time do I have? It's already 8 o'clock. I better hurry up, huh? Choosing rather to suffer afflictions with the people of God. Oh, I went ahead. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. For he endured, or we can say he waited, as seeing him who is invisible. I want to encourage you tonight that if you've been discouraged because of temptation, don't be. Don't be. Don't do it. Don't do it. It's just the devil lying to you. And I'm going to finish with these scriptures here. You know, these are scriptures that will encourage you if you've been tempted. And I know we all have. In some area of our lives, we've been tempted to say, you know what, Jesus, this is too hard. I can't do it no longer. I'm all washed up. I want to encourage you tonight. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13 says, the Apostle Paul speaking to Corinthians here, there has no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. You know, every man on earth has suffered temptation, the common temptations. You know, I like this verse. It reminds me of Sister Connie. But God, can everyone say, but God?
But God.
I can't hear you.
But God.
I still can't hear you.
But God.
Thank you. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. It's God's ability, not yours. It's God's grace, not yours. Didn't Kel, won't you say that Sunday? I am what I am by the grace of God. Did you say that? Or, oh, I am what I am by the grace of God. God's ability, God's power. You know, Jesus. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 18, it says, for in that he, or Jesus himself, have suffered being tempted. Jesus himself was tempted. He is able. He is able. God is able. He is able to help them that are tempted. My God is able. Our God is able. He is able. He's just asking you to trust him and to wait for that peace of God that passes all understanding. No matter what's going on around you, what circumstances, what situations, you wait on that peace of God that's going to take you forward. On that water that's going to help you float away into the deep. Where the fish are. Amen. The water is rising. I'm almost done. I say that, you know, to help you. Yeah. No, I'm kidding. James chapter 1, verse 2. My brethren, my brothers and sisters in the Lord, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But listen, I underline this part. Count it all joy. It says, if you fall. It says here, when you fall. When you fall. Again, Jesus was led into the desert by the Holy Ghost to be tempted of the devil. You get that? When you fall. When you fall. Count it all joy. Oh, that's a hard one, isn't it? Shoo, I can give you some examples on that where I failed to count it as joy. All right? James chapter 1, verse 12. Blessed is the man that endures temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord promised them that love him. Amen. 2 Peter 2:9. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. 2 Peter 3:17. You therefore, beloved, seeing ye know all these things beforehand, beware lest, unless you also being led away with the error of the wicked, you know, the world and stuff like that, fall from your own steadfastness. I mean, we can trip and fall any day if we're not ready. The Lord instructs us to stand and to continue to stand. In fact, let's go there. Ephesians chapter 6. I'll finish with this. I know it's kind of long. I'm sorry. I know some of you have worked all day, but so have I. Proverbs 1:10, before I want to give you this one. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Don't go with them. You be your own man. You be your own woman. You be the man of God that you are. You be the woman of God that you are. You know, because I work among people that are heathens, foul mouth, and all they ever talk about is evil stuff and wicked stuff. Six sex that and sex there and sex here, sex everywhere. And it's absolutely disgusting. But I stand. They try to make me fall, but I continue to stand. They'll try to make you fall by lies and deceit, but you continue to stand. Amen. I can't find Ephesians in this Bible. I'm sure it's in it. Okay, I'm going to finish with this one. I promise. I know I talk too much. Oh, thank you. Ephesians chapter 6. And you know this. You know this. Where am I? Is it? No. Verse 13. Ephesians 6, verse 13. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. Oh, you got to underline this part. That you may be able. You got to underline that part. You have to. That you may be able. That you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand. Therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Oh, I got much to say about that. Hallelujah. The word of God. The word of God. Jesus resisted the devil with the word of God. The word of the Spirit. That word that comes forth out of your mouth in that very situation that's going to cause you to rise up above that circumstance and that situation. That word of the Spirit will cause you to stand. Amen. God bless you.
I can go on, but I better stop.
Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Stand up and fluff your pillows and shake your leg. Hallelujah. When Jesus went into the wilderness to be tempted, that temptation was checking his word level. And his word level was full, so he overcame the temptation. And we can count it all joy when we fall into temptation if our word level is full. See, it's okay to fall into temptation. Just don't let temptation cause you to fall into sin. There's a difference. If you fall into temptation and overcome that by the word, then you're all right. The problem is when we allow that place of temptation to cause us to fall into sin. Yeah, everybody's going to fall into temptation. But that temptation, it just came to me as Reuben was teaching that temptation is the dipstick that checks our word level. I mean, I don't like it. I don't like to be tempted, but it checks my word level. And if my word level is full, I overcome the temptation. Amen. So we just got to keep our word level full. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Father, in Jesus' name, I want to thank you that the water is rising. Lord, I just thank you that the water is rising. We don't go by sight and we don't go by what we feel. We go by faith and we see by faith that the water is rising. In our personal lives, in our churches, in our ministries, we see the waters rising. We see it by faith. We see it with the Spirit's eye. We see the waters rising. The river is rising. And in Ezekiel 47, it tells us about that rising river and how much life is produced because of it. And Lord, we just believe that these rising waters are going to get us up and off the rocks and get us going and get us back out into the deep where we belong. Oh, I thank you, Jesus, for the deep water. I think that it's rising all around us and taking us out into the deeper and the deeper and the deeper and the deeper. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Lord, just like you stood on the shore there with Peter, and he had to be pretty close to the shore because he could hear your voice. And you said to him, Peter, go deep. Go deep. And Lord, I hear you saying that to us. Go deep. Get on out there and go deep. And Lord, we just thank you for the waters that are rising, helping us to go deep. Because out there is where we'll catch that multitude of fish that you're bringing towards us, Lord. Oh, I thank you for it. I thank you for it.